Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
That's what I hope, but I can't guarantee anything.
So a little gamesmanship.
Yeah.
I hear that it might. Ray may be in the forecast on Sunday in Tampa.
Okay. Is that good? Is that bad?
No. Well, you know, the conspiracies about rain.
What are the conspiracies about rain?
Brock Purdy can't throw into rain.
I mean, it's not a conspiracy. It's just truth reality. He just hasn't been good in cold and wet weather.
Oh, Brock? Oh, yeah. I thought we were talking about CMC or something.
No, Brock. I mean, he can't throw the football. It's rated.
And they're going to be in Lambeau. They're going to be Lambeau soon. They're going to be in Buffalo. I mean, these cold weather games, I don't know.
Can your hands grow over time?
I think he's done growing.
The Alex Smith handgate was one of the stupidest and funniest things of all time. Remember that? He's got small hands.
Hey. I mean, in terms of height, hands.
No, it's just funny that you said that. I was like, yeah, he's like 25. Yeah, of course he's done growing. He's a late bloomer. It was just funny how he said it.
It was a joke.
Hey, man. It's just,
well, your fingers can definitely get fatter.
Well, you have those surgeries where you can, like, break your legs and get taller. Can you, like, break your fingers and make them longer?
It's a lengthy recovery time. I don't know if you have time for that.
Do not do that.
No? You can't do that?
Every time I see people who have that extension, like, it just, it looks so painful. Everything, the whole thing.
But is it worth it?
No, it's not worth it.
You can get like a whole 3 inches added to your head.
Hey, 3 inches is
some
awesome.
Some dudes do it, man. Some dudes do it because they feel like they could secure the bag. They could go out there and it gives them a better chance at courting a lady or whatnot. I don't know. That's what I was told. I did a deep dive into this a couple years ago. It's like, wait, dudes are breaking their legs, the girl's tall. Like, that's weak.
And what?
That's weak.
What was the deep dive? I'm kind of curious now. What was your conclusion after said
deep
dive?
Well, they're doing it to help their, you know, their chances in terms of, like, most of these guys that I was watching on his YouTube video, I forget where I found it. This was a couple years ago. I was watching it with Anna because I was like, what is this? And she's like, oh, these guys are breaking their legs and get taller because they say they can't get girls because they got the short men. And, you know, they're too short, so they want to get taller to compete with other guys and try to get women. And so most of these guys are doing it just because they can have a better chance, so they can have a better chance at maybe getting a phone number or getting a date or trying to find romance or whatnot, which is, you know,
kind of sad.
Doesn't
your torso look a little disproportionate to the legs? If they're like, you know, you add like 5 or 6 inches to your legs and like you got this tiny little torso, you almost look like a cartoon character.
I guess so. But I mean, look, man, got to do what you got to do, right? Got to do what you got to do. I mean, not everybody has game, you know? Not everybody does. That's the problem with this new generation. I'm very curious with everything being online.
Okay, what's that?
I want to know.
There's probably the Casanova of texting or Snapchatting or whatever. Yeah,
but the voice-to-voice is what gets you going. The voice-to-voice is where it works. So does any guys call girls anymore? Do girls take phone calls anymore?
Time for the legal.
I mean, seriously. I remember I was dating this chick back in the day, and I called her. She was like, oh, it was so weird you're calling me. Like, all I do is text. And I was like, nah, I'm a voice-to-voice guy. I need to have a conversation with you.
He's too old.
I have to whisper sweet nothings to you.
Yeah, well, I just need to know. Am I talking to a dummy or not? Am I talking to a girl who's born under? Am I talking to a bag of rocks or am I talking to somebody who's educated? I want to know. You know, it's me. I'm old school. I mean, call me old school if you want to, but all this texting and oh my god. I got game with my thumbs. I'm going to just text something. Like, come on.
What's...
And then you get on a date, and then you can't say, you can't even hold a conversation. That's the new, like Michael Irvin said, man. People learning, they're losing recipes, man. They need to learn how to cook.
What's worse, getting the leg extension surgery or lying about your age to play 14U baseball when you're 19 years old? Did you hear about this?
No, hold on.
Multiple prospects were claiming that they were 5 years younger. They were playing in 12U tournaments at 17 years old.
All right.
It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
All right, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMG FM and HG1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. No, that's pathetic. The coaches, the players, I mean, I would strip their... You can't do that. What are you doing? You're in college. What are you doing playing in 14U? Where was this at?
I'm looking it up. It was
Dominican.
Dominican at one point.
Padres. Yeah.
There's multiple guys, though, that got in trouble for it. What happens is you have these, like, academies, and people show up at, like, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 years old to play in these academies, and they were just lying about their ages. Lying about their ages so that instead of being a, you know, 16-year-old and now you hit international free agency and you can sign with one of these teams, you're really 21. I mean, that's ridiculous.
It's kind of ridiculous.
It's all over MLB. Passan was tweeting about it. It's one of the most ridiculous things you can do. When millions are on the line, I'm not surprised.
Not going to lie, I've been a little checked out of baseball, so I haven't been paying attention to everything. I did see Gerrit Cole get re-upped by the New York Yankees, so that's good for them, but... yeah, I don't know. Breaking your legs to get taller because you got no game and you don't know how to... Like, it's sad. I'm worried for a lot of people, man. Like, the Spadonis of the world who don't know how to hold a conversation with a late... Like, oh, my gosh.
The Spadonis of the world? Are worried about me?
I mean to say love.
I'd speak for an hour by myself every morning.
On my own.
No, I don't feel like that about the text liners. The text liners is all good. It's all good.
Prospect's name was Cesar Alton Garcia, and he's currently 19 years old. And the documents that he had were claiming that he was just 14. And the Dominican Baseball Federation is viewing this right now. And I come on. If you're 19 going up against 14-year-olds, like what are we doing here?
Yeah, I don't know what we're doing. Now, 650 Comcast Business text line is saying that, you know, when we talk about weather, because that's how this conversation started. Apparently, Shanahan, is this true? Shanahan admitted that he doesn't believe in prepping his team for bad weather?
Well, how do you prep for bad weather?
I guess you throw a lot of water on the football.
Chip Kelly did that.
Yeah, I mean, bring in fake rain, fake water. I don't know how you do that. Maybe you get the fans, you get the water, and you start blowing it towards the field. I
say like that you bring like a fire truck and just like shoot a hose over the practice field with a bunch of fans to simulate a wind.
I would do that.
Making a total cartoon show out there.
That would be kind of funny. You're right, 408. They don't even exchange numbers anymore. It's what's your IG or what's your Snap. That's sad. I'm so disappointed. I'm so disappointed. Like, baby, little LJ, I'm a school LJ. Like, okay. Hey, man, don't be like this new generation. You go up, you go talk to that young lady. Find you a nice little icebreaker. Game her up, man. Let's go. What's your IG? Oh, my gosh. 209. Sources on anything people say about Shanahan. Like, come on. They would prepare for bad weather. Like, that's...
I think people say, like, you got to prepare for bad weather. And it's like, well, how do you prepare for the humidity and the warm rain in Tampa Bay when you're living in Santa Clara?
That's a question for Baldy. That sounds like it's a question for Baldy.
I don't know. I think it's more of a mindset than it is an actual, like... prepping, like my personal belief, because even the teams that live up in the Northeast when it's snowing and stuff, they practice indoors
they do go indoors.
You know, like I think Cincinnati's the only team without an indoor facility.
Yeah, they're outdoors because Mike Brown is so damn cheap.
Yeah,
Cincinnati Bengals owner.
I could be wrong on that, but was my interpretation. Look, you get CMC back. I have no idea if this guy is going to be, you know, 5 snaps, you know, 20 snaps, 60 snaps. That would feel aggressive, you know, playing about 50 snaps. You know, Steph Curry yesterday, I guess they had a game plan of about
25 minutes. Played the first 5.5, sat the next 12, and they finished the first half. Didn't start the third quarter, played the back end of the third quarter. So they're going to lift that restriction for Wednesday. But, yeah, they had the minutes restriction.
So, like, if you have CMC, like, I want to know where is Jordan Mason at? And that's what I want to ask him, Inman. Like, is he a full go? Because he said he was a full go last time. He ran a little tentative. He got hit, and he re-injured himself. You know, is it Guerrero as the number two if CMC's number one? Are they splitting carries? Like, how's this going to work for fantasy implications?
Yeah. Big Trent was talking yesterday about Christian McCaffrey. We'll bring some of that sound up on the other side here. So, Christian McCaffrey, looks like he's back on the practice field. No, we're not doing that 209. We're not going to do that. Look at that text right there, 209. It's a funny text because this is right up your alley, Shasky. It's right up your alley. 888-957-9570. Let's get some grades out before we talk to Brian Baldinger on the other side. Niners. Back on the field this week playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's get into Monday Night Football, what you took away from Tampa Bay yesterday as they lost in overtime to Kansas City. We'll do that coming up. Brought to you by the Los Altos Village Association. Downtown Los Altos presents the 21st Holiday Stroll, November 8th. A sparkling opportunity to get in the holiday spirit early. Sponsored by the agency and V-Line Cosmetic Clinic. Find out more at downtownlosaltos.org.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Here is Hunt for the touchdown. Kansas City remains unbeaten. 8-0.
I thought the entire drive that if they scored, they would go for two. I just, you know, I approach it. I'm not saying Tampa Bay should look at it and say they're not as good as Kansas City. But, you know, when you're on the road against the defending world champs and you've got them on the ropes and you get a chance to win a game, you know, on one play, I think you've got to do that.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldinger with the NFL Network. And you're listening to The Morning Roast with Fonte and Shasky at 95.7.
All right, that's Troy Aikman. Joe Buck on the call Monday Night Football. Chiefs beat the Bucs in overtime 30-24. Here's Todd Bowles, real quick, 7 seconds, on why he chose not to go for two.
We wanted to get it to overtime with the wet conditions on the field. We felt like we had to go in overtime instead of go for two. So we had our shots. You know, we lost the game.
That is one hell of an explanation, or a non-explanation, by Todd Bowles. It's tough, 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 tough. Download the Odyssey app. 95.7 The Game. Thousands of other stations and millions of podcasts are free on the Odyssey app. Sports talk, music, news, and great podcasts like Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys are all available. Follow your favorite teams like the Niners, Warriors, stations and radio shows like Steiny and Goo, or The Morning Roast. Catch amazing interviews you missed, too. Like when Ryan Hollins actually joined Steiny and Guru last week. Not Willard or Dibs. He joined Steiny and Guru. I was listening to that live on Friday afternoon.
So, you know, I'm a big believer in know the personnel. Know the personnel on your own team. Know the personnel that you're going up against. I don't treat the Colorado Rocky lineup the way I treat the Dodger lineup, right? And I don't treat within that Dodger lineup Mookie Betts with Freddie Freeman on deck or Shohei, you know, in front of him the same way that I would treat Tommy Edman, for example, coming up as the eight hitter, right?
Right.
Depending on who's in front, who's behind. So in this game, I'm watching Tampa Bay march down the field. And I felt very Niner-ish in the sense of I was like, two things have to happen here. Number one, you cannot give Mahomes any time to get into field goal range. So this needs to be the final possession. Number two, I'm not even going to the coin flip in overtime. I'm winning or losing right then, right there. So if you're watching the broadcast, and I know you're doing postgame, so I'm not sure how much of it you heard or saw, but like Troy Aikman is going kind of crazy that they called a timeout when they did with 33 seconds left. You could have like ticked it down to ensure that Mahomes never touches it at the end of regulation. Simultaneously, he's saying you got to go for two no matter what here because you don't want to give the ball back to them because then you're subject to the coin flip and you might not touch it again.
Yep.
And it's not the same as the Super Bowl, but when you're going against that team, and that guy in Patrick Mahomes, I do believe you need to be a little different.
Well, also, when you think about where your team is at right now, your team doesn't have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. You're currently on a two-game losing streak. You don't want to fall two games behind the Atlanta Falcons because also you're really three games behind the Falcons because you got swept by them. So they own the tiebreaker. it's imperative that you get to 5-4 instead of 4-5 with the Niners coming up on deck on a short week. So all those variables plus playing Kansas City, just a terrible, terrible decision here. But this may be a terrible decision. I don't know where this is going to go. But Rick in Oakland has an outside-the-box phone call to make here on the Morning Roast. Hey, Rick, I'm all ears. You like me.
What's up? What's up, fellas? Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. But your boy, Avontae, love you guys, man.
Thank you.
Just wanted to go back a little bit about when you're talking about phone calls and ladies and text messages had me cracking up. It's a lot different talking to the ladies in person. You know, you're coming with that off the top of the head. But, Butcher Boy, you were talking about the text Casanovas. You know, they got a lot of time to think about that text before they send it.
Mm.
So, you know, that just had me laughing and just want to say hello. And let's go Dubs, and let's go Niners.
Hell yeah. Let's go. Let's go.
Now, back in the day, you know, you guys were a little too young, but back in the day, Bonte and I would have to sit, depending on where the house phone was in your house, you would have to sit in front of everyone in your house, because at one point we only had one phone, and you would sit there while everyone's, like, eavesdropping on your call, and then you would call over to a girl's house, and their brother or their dad would answer the phone. And you'd be like, oh, hello, can I speak to Kimberly or whatever. Right, Bonte? And then the dad or the brother, if they were tough enough, like, who's this? And you'd be like, this is Joe. Right? And yeah, that's how it used to go. All right? Now, as things got a little more sophisticated.
See, that just sounds awful. I'm not going to lie.
It was horrible. Am I wrong, B?
Well, showed how much gall you had.
I don't know, Joe.
But you know how you had to call at a certain time.
Exactly.
You knew the parent's schedule. The work schedule. So get the call in maybe right after school, because the late night stuff wasn't happening. Now, within your own household, if there was two phones in there, you know, I had little brothers and sisters.
Would they hop on the phone like my sister would?
And you're hoping it's a cordless, too, at that point.
No, there are no cordless. No, there were no cordless. Long cords. There were
no cordless. Oh, no. You're the rotary, see? Yeah.
No, it's not rotary. It wasn't rotary. We weren't that old.
You guys are pretty old. No, you guys are pretty old.
Dial tones, man.
They don't even know.
They don't
even know. He's like rotary, like we're in the 70s.
I mean, these guys, you know, it explains a lot.
It does.
It explains a lot on why things are going the way things are going in society.
Messenger birds back then.
We didn't even have voicemail.
Pals literal,
it was a literal answering machine. Cool. It was a separate machine, right, B?
Yep.
And people would leave messages.
But this is why you go to these clubs and you go to these parties, and it's like we're back in middle school. Guys are one side of the room, girls are the other side of the room. Yet we're all adults. It's like, dude, mingle, talk. Do something. Instead, you guys want to just look at your phones. Oh, you saw this on IG? Hey, oh, look at this little cool meme that I got. Oh, hey, look at this. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, you got Snapchat, blah, 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 blah. It's no wonder society is the way it is. It's embarrassing. You guys need to go back to the old school. You need to go back to pre-internet, pre-cell phone type of days, because it builds character. You have to go through adversity to make these phone calls. You know how nerve-wracking it was when you first got a number?
So
to make that call, it's like, oh, do I call her? Do I not call her? Do I call her? Do I not call her? You're trying to come right. You're all nervous and stuff like that. Then you got the whole three-way dynamic. The three-way dynamic is a game changer. It's a whole other level.
Don't forget caller ID changing the game.
Oh, my gosh.
Caller ID. Handful of people had caller ID. It changed the game. Then you knew who was calling prior to it going in. But also, like when guys would call to our house to talk to my sister, we would do the classic scream into the phone. So they would call over, hi, this is Bob or whatever. And we'd be like, Kellen, the phone's for you. And then my little brother would try to eavesdrop and like talk smack on the other line on the second phone. I can't believe you guys don't know what it is. They're looking at us like we're old.
Dublin Marge, no, they're just.
Well, I mean.
Dublin Marge says this. These kids, Dublin Marge, come cat visit text line. These kids don't know what a busy tone is. What's that weird sound, Mom? And bam, bam. We're like, damn, she's on the phone.
Some people
damn,
she's call on the line. Waiting.
Yeah.
So like you would call and it would have the busy tone like he's talking about. And then all of a sudden, we could afford call waiting. Yeah. And you could click over.
These kids.
They have no idea.
No, but it's sad. It's actually sad. They should have an idea.
No, we kind of should have.
They're just pissed me off.
You have no idea. When my parents bought their house.
Yes, I do. I remember calling someone and no one else could use the phone.
On your cordless phone with three-way.
Yeah, but it's the same. But it's one line. It's the one line. That's it. And then we had dial-up internet, too. We had the AOL. Someone was doing that. You couldn't do that.
Yeah, I understand Anna's still asleep right now, 7:24, so I could get these takes off right now. Once 8 o'clock turns around, play boo-booed fool. When I went to college, I went to college a little later in life. And I'll just say,
it's a wrap!
I see why this generation was struggling. You guys had no clue.
No clue.
No clue.
No hustle.
And the game, that's worldwide half the game, was just, for us being older and knowing the game, it's like, oh, man.
Bro, once we got voicemail, you know what I mean. Right? You had your own voicemail. You would have to curate. You had to find a song that you like, and you would put the phone next to the speaker to record it, and they'd be like, leave a message.
I remember my first ever voicemail with music. You want to know what it was?
What was it?
Honest to God.
What?
Girls, 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 girls.
No, it's not.
Girls, I do adore. I swear to God.
Oh, you had the ringback tone, so when people call, they listen to that? Is that what it was?
That was the voicemail. When you went to voicemail, it was girls, girls.
No, you're talking about something else.
Because I didn't have any girls. I was faking the funk.
Girls.
Fake bravado. That was my first ever one. I swear to God. My first ever one. You remember your first one?
I don't remember my first one, but I remember calling popcorn all the time.
Luke,
you guys don't even know what that is.
This is great. Ask a kid to hold a phone 925. They act like they're holding an iPhone versus extending their thumb and pinky. That's the franchise. You're so right. Oh, man. They look so lost right now. Lubman and Spadoni. But explain so much with this generation. I'm trying to help you guys out.
You guys are telling me because I didn't speak on a wired phone.
There was an anonymous cowardice to whatever you guys were doing. You weren't built up the old school way where you had to take your lumps. I'm with Bob.
Do you realize we had to ask girls for their phone numbers still? They're just cell phone numbers.
Yeah, but you didn't have to go through the security line of the dad or the uncle or the brother or whatever. Like, there was a courage you had to have.
You had to have courage.
Back in the day.
You had to have courage.
It wasn't like a direct line to the individual you were talking to.
No, it was. You had to have courage. And then talking within your family. You didn't want to sound like, because you got little brother or sister sitting there around the corner laughing, telling everybody, do you know what Ponte said about this? Oh, my God. His game is so weak, and then you get made fun of in front of the old family. Now, you guys, and I'm trying to tell this young generation, forget the texting. Get the phone number and make the phone call. Little Johnny in high school, little Jesse at Washington High, or little Roger at Galileo, or little Trevor at Sacred Heart, or little Max at SI.
Sliding in the DMs to say hi.
No sliding in the DMs to say hi. You walk up and say, hey, girl. You don't say, hey, girl. You don't say, hey, girl. You don't say, hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Oh, baby. I'm going to be giving you a call later.
But you get what I'm saying. Hey, you walk up to this young fine lady. You walk up to this young lady, and you have a conversation. You don't slide to a DM to say hi, okay? You don't say, hey, girl, either. But to walk up to somebody, go have some, talk to them, have a conversation. Don't sit there and just cell phone.
I remember when we used to, make plans. Somebody, hey, you got to call the movie line, right? So you have to find out where the movies are playing, and you'd pick the number, like, hey, I want to go to West Portal or Kabuki or wherever, and then they would roll through every single movie with every single time, and you'd have to wait for. See, you guys are looking at me
I used to look at the newspaper for the movie times because they would have them in the newspaper.
No, oh, wow.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you'd call this line to find out where everything
was. I did actually read the newspaper for the movie, so I'll write with Spadoni on that one. I love the newspaper. Okay, it's showtime. Boom, 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 boom. 415. The best about the phone calls was when the homie would put you on three-way with the girl and gas you up, and you could hear what she thinks about you so you know if you had a shot or not. I've been on both ends of that call.
I'm not going to
Can't do that today.
When my parents got their house at on London, and they had linoleum floors, and my dad was like, look at the scuff marks on the ground. And I was like, and then I was a young kid. I was like, I don't get it. He's like, they had three daughters.
Yeah.
And back then, you used to wear high heels all the time because it was a different culture. You know, this got the house in the early 80s. And the girls in the house, because the phone was in the middle of the house, would sit on the phone and click their heels on the linoleum floor. And they dug like a huge divot in the linoleum floor because it was three girls talking on the phone in the middle of the house. That's how it used to be. There was one central spot to talk on the phone. And you'd like hide from your family. Like, hey, you don't understand. You guys think I'm looking at me like I'm nuts.
I'm just looking at Oreo cookie. We had to memorized phone numbers. So and if true. You're off by one digit, you were devastated. You'd be like, damn it, I thought it was a 7. And then you're trying every number in the phone. You're like, I don't know the number. I blew it.
Bro, we would be at a payphone when it was $2. We'd be at a payphone and you'd have all the phone numbers in your head memorized. And you knew if I could hit the, you know, end of the call before it actually hit the answer machine, I'd get my $2 back.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're
talking
about.
I remember when it went up to 35 cents, I was pissed.
Yeah, well, that's what happened with the beauty bus went up to 35 cents. I was pissed about that. So anyway, we're going to bring Byron Undergaard. That's our spit there. You young pucks, man, learn how to talk. Converse. Ladies want to hear your voice. What happened to old school ethics? Morals. I asked Baldy about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, this dude.
You can do both now, Bonte. You know there's this thing called like voice to text or like voice memos. No, you weak. Can just record your voice and like messages, and it's conversing that way throughout someone's day.
How about just dialing the number and just say, hey,
how
you doing?
People are working, Bonte, but you can record something. I'm sure Anna would appreciate you recording messages like, hey,
she likes
I know you're asleep
calls.
Right now,
but
I'm thinking of you.
No,
you send that and she wakes up to that, she would love that.
That's lame. I just call, hey,
wow,
I'm just
that's lame.
That's taking the easy way out. That's taking the easy way out.
Now, I will admit, FaceTime is a game changer with the kid. Because now he has face recognition of all his cousins.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Cousins of all his family members. That I will admit, FaceTime has been a big hit in the Shasky household.
FaceTime's been a big hit since the pandemic.
Well, no duh. But I'm just saying, like, for him to know who his cousins are that he maybe doesn't see every single week.
All right, we got Sharkwick. I got some questions to ask Baldy, man. Let's go.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
All right, joining us on the River Islands guest line, Brian Baldinger, presented by a proud partner, Golden State, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. Building better starts with Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLover.com. Before we get into football, Baldy, good morning to you. Looking dapper in that NFL Network polo. I got to ask you, you're from the old school, too. And we're just for the last 10 minutes spitballing how this younger generation, they sat me, especially the guys, because all they want to do is text and DM girls. What happened to just having a conversation, dialing a phone number, and just talking on the phone for an hour instead of just doing the text and stuff, Baldy? What kind of game is that? They've got no hope, Baldy. It disappoints me.
Not only that, I can go back a generation before that, Bonte, where I called my girl, because we only had one phone in the house, right?
Yep.
So we went to the payphone. We went to the payphone where we're dropping dimes in the payphone to talk to our girl at night, you know, and check in on things. There was no text. It wasn't even forget the phone call. It was a payphone phone call, you know, where you could have some privacy with your girl. Like, it was, like, yeah, I'm from that school, man. Like, I believe in conference. In fact, even my girlfriend right now, like, I honestly, like, I call her. Like,
Thank
I
you.
Still, like, I'll send a text in a moment, but I call her. I want to hear her voice. She wants to hear my voice, like, I don't know, you miss a lot when you're doing it like the kids are doing it right now.
Thank you, Baldy. You're the man for that. I love it so much. Real quick on Monday Night Football, you agree with the decision by Tampa Bay before we get to the Niners and CMC? go for two or not go for two. I felt like in my heart, Arrowhead Stadium, you're on the road, you're desperate, you've lost two in a row, you have to keep pace with the Falcons who have swept you within that division. Do you go for two or not? Did you agree with the decision to not go for two, Baldy?
I mean, I've seen that happen, obviously, before. And maybe analytics, for whatever that's worth, maybe that's the decision. I had no problem of going into overtime. Because, you know, you might get to coin flip. You know, you might be able to go down and score. But then, you know, I think Todd Bowles believes in his defense. Like, I know it's Mahomes. I know it's Kansas City. You're in Arrowhead. But, you know, make a stop, force a field goal. I mean, they ran the ball, you know, from third and one at the two. Like, a lot of teams can't gain a yard. Now, Kansas City is a little different than most teams. A lot of teams can't gain a yard down there. I see it every week. And so you got Vita Vea in there. Like, go stop the run. But I didn't think it was a bad decision on that situation by Todd Bowles not to go for two.
So how big of an advantage do the Niners have? They've had 2 weeks to prepare for Tampa Bay. Tampa's on a short week. Now they're going to be at home. Just in terms of preparation and being ready to go, like it feels like this is a perfect spot for the Niners right now. And I'm not trying to overlook Tampa. I'm just saying they got a lot of built-in advantages here.
There's no doubt about it. I'm going to be at that game this weekend in Tampa. I'm excited to go down there. It's also going to be 88 degrees down there. Going to be a lot like what you went through with Arizona. But it is. I mean, when that schedule came out, I'm sure Todd Bowles is saying, like, okay, we're doing Monday night in Kansas City because the country wants to see the Chiefs and Mahomes. Okay, but we got to be on the road. Then we got to come back and host the 49ers, who, oh, by the way, are coming off a 10-day, you know, layoff here of being fresh. So there is a huge advantage at this time of the year to get a mini bye like San Francisco has. And then for Tampa to have to turn around, you know, and probably play another game without Mike Evans, that's a real challenge right now.
The weather, you said 88 degrees. Is rain in the forecast for Sunday, Baldy?
I don't know about that. I know, okay. I just know that it's going to be hot and Florida humid down there. And
yeah.
Anybody that, you know, I have a place in Florida. I'm down there a lot. That humidity is just different than everywhere else, even this time of the year. So, you know, you got to hydrate. You got to do all those things because you'll cramp up down there if you're not careful.
Real quick, Baldy, on the weather, though, in case it is inclement weather, we were just spitballing last hour. How do teams prepare for bad weather games? Like, we saw the rain and the fog yesterday in Kansas City. Green Bay was nasty. Detroit goes out there and punks them and smashes them, just runs the ball right down their throat and just control the football game. How does a team prepare for inclement weather type of games? Do they just go indoors and throw water over the footballs? How does that work there?
Well, I would say, you know, the irony is that, you know, Jordan Love must have fumbled three snaps. Now, he had a new center in there. Elton Jenkins was in there. But they had some bad snaps. And I'm not saying it lost the game for them. But, you know, they were constantly, you know, dropping a ball and falling on it and losing yards. I mean, look, every team has a wet ball drill. I remember one time being in Green Bay when Favre was there. And I think it was preseason. I went in, they had an indoor practice. And literally, they had one of their trainers, whoever, ball boy, like, just taking these footballs and just dunking them in a pail of water. And Favre was just throwing wet balls. You know, like, I mean, teams prepare for it. I mean, you have to. And, you know, whether you wear gloves, not wear gloves, you're checking out your spikes before the game. Last thing you want to do is slipping on the field. Short spikes, long spikes. Like, you got to, you know, there's a great deal of preparation when you're getting ready for a game that can be inclement.
What are the reasonable expectations for CMC? I mean, he's one of the best players in the league when he's healthy, but this isn't a normal ankle sprain or a knee sprain or something like that. And if you told me he played three snaps, I'd believe you. If you told me he played the rest of the season, I might believe that too. What are you expecting from CMC?
I don't know, Joe. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know if he knows. You know, I mean, I see where the window's open to start practicing, because his whole game, I mean, any running back, but especially him, his whole game is explosion, whether it's 2 foot cuts, explosive cuts off your zone cuts, in traffic, his whole game is explosion. And so can he get the explosive feel back in his legs? Can he do what we saw him do the last 2.5 years in San Francisco, where he's the most dynamic player in the league? Like, if he loses that, what does he have? Is he just a good back, or is he still an elite back? I don't know if he knows. Like, I remember talking to Aaron Rodgers this summer, And we're just asking about his Achilles and coming back from it. And he said, like, every day something new would happen in practice. Like, defense lineman, you know, wins the down. He's chasing him. He's got to get out of harm's way. And he's got to explode without thinking about it. And the day that I talked to him in practice and training camp, he was able to get out of harm's way. And he said that was a big deal to him. And so I think a little bit is, okay, you take it easy, you take it easy, kind of start running through some plays, and then you gradually add speed to it. And I don't know if he's going to know if he's got his explosion back until he's actually on the field, whenever that is. Hopefully it's, you know, when he's really ready to come back. If he's going to be able to dart and make people miss the way he's been doing.
If he does tear it, how devastating would that be for his career, a running back? Now, we see Rodgers come back. Doesn't quite look the same, but he is playing. He could still spin it. I thought he played well last Thursday against the Houston Texans. But if he does aggravate something, how detrimental could that be for Christian McCaffrey's career, Baldy?
Well, I mean, I think it could be doomsday. I mean, I'm not here to, you know, put a black cloud over this thing, but it could be doomsday if he can't get that. It's like on for Dalvin. He's been a great player in his league, but it's over for him. So Ezekiel Elliott, it's over. Like, these guys lose their explosion. Like, if McCaffrey can't get that elite stop-start quickness of his game, if he can't get that back, is he going to be just another back that, you know, we just talk about the old days?
Wow.
Or, I mean, that's how I feel about it. It's just that critical. Because every running back has X amount of hits in them before they just start to fade. You know, sometimes, you don't know, Derrick Henry still has it. Emmitt Smith had it for a long time, but his game wasn't built on stop and start and quickness. Dorsett's went after 10 years. Like, everybody's a little bit different. I played with Eric Dickerson. He was the best back in the league for 6 straight years in a row. He tears his hamstring in Cincinnati one day. He had a hard time getting 4 yards to carry the rest of his career. Although he went to Atlanta and he went to the Raiders, but he wasn't the same after that hamstring tear.
Wow, I mean, that's sobering. Sobering to even
no doubt.
To contemplate. Just looking at the Niners as a whole, they're 4-4 right now. Obviously, they've got a huge stretch of games ahead of them. To this point, what's the thing that they can hang their hat on as a team on either side of the ball?
Well, they run the ball very well. Now, I mean, you lose McCaffrey, and here comes Jordan Mason, and, you know, the last couple games, Garendo comes in. They have consistently run the ball very well. That's the one thing I think that you can hang. And I think they have, and every team needs this. I think they have an outstanding rookie class. And those kids bring juice. They don't really know what they don't know. They're still learning. But, you know, they've got interceptions, big hits. You're looking at, you know, maybe Pearsall has a great second half of the season with Ayuk out. You're looking at, you know, Dominic Pooney at right guard has been a mainstay basically every play this whole season. Like, the rookie class has been outstanding, and their ability to continue to be able to run the ball is two things I think you can hang your hat on.
Talking to Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. Don't forget about the Best Football Show podcast that he hosts. It's really, really good. NFL Network, at Baldy NFL on X/Twitter. And he's here on the River Islands guest line, of course, on the Morning Roast. Baldy, what is one thing the Niners absolutely have to clean up if they do want to make a run at this thing and threaten the Lions and the Packers and the Eagles and these powers in the NFC? What is the one thing they absolutely have to flip?
I mean, I like to see the passing game, you know, pick up. They've thrown 10 touchdown passes in 8 games. I think that has to improve. I mean, you're on pace to throw 20. They need, you know, but I think if they're really going to make a run in the playoffs, like, they got to finish the season after 17 games at 30 touchdown passes. Mm. Like, their passing game has to pick up, especially the way the run game has been and their play action passes off it. I think the passing game and finishing these drives, we talked about it all year, you know, red zone, whatever. Like, it has to result in touchdowns. And, you know, if touchdown passes, I believe you got to be up around 30, I think, if you're going to be in the playoffs and if you're going to make a playoff push, because you're going to have to throw the ball. You're going to go and see better defenses. Last year, of course, they're down 17 to Detroit. If they can't throw the ball as well as they did, than not winning that football game, being down 17 in the third quarter. So I believe that, you know, touchdown passes have got to go up and red zone efficiency has got to improve.
I'm gonna say it on the front end. I'll give you some time to think about it. I'll give you who I believe to be it, because we're going to ask the audience here. Pick either side of the ball. Team MVP on offense, team MVP on defense for the 49ers. Just through eight games, obviously. It's not the full season. I like Fred Warner on defense. 66 tackles, sack, interception, four forced fumbles. And George Kittle has just been awesome. The guy is still as great as ever. And I think that he is a tone setter for this team. And when he's out there, they're just a different team altogether. So if you had to pick on both sides of the ball, who are you going with in terms of MVP through eight games?
That's hard to argue with either one of those, honestly, Joe. I mean, you know, Fred on defense for sure, because I still think after these 10 days, the way he comes back from these 10 days and what he's doing to take the ball away right now, I mean, he's the legitimate candidate still for defensive player of the year. So I would say Fred and George have no problem with what George has done. I might say Jordan Mason just to change up with you a little bit, just because he's been that good. And that unexpectedly good. So I don't know how his shoulder is right now after these 10 days. Hopefully he's back to close to 100%. But I would say that the only other guy I would consider is Mason at this point.
This is the best you see George Kittle play football. I can make the argument that this may be his best season thus far. I mean, the 500 yards receiving, what he does in the run game, the leadership that he's showing on his football team, stepping up when guys are out like Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. Is this the best version of George Kittle that you've seen on film, Baldy?
Yeah. I mean, he's always brought juice to this organization, always. The way that he plays the game, the way he attacks. But I think he's getting better. You know, I mean, he still has breakaway speed. We've seen it after the catch this year. His ability to just go up, and I mean, the one touchdown catch, you know, in the corner of the end zone is just an elite play. So we've seen the elite plays, but the blocking is just as good. Mason and Garendo aren't running the way they are right now without George Kittle's blocking. And just the pure joy and pleasure that he takes in good blocks is still pretty much unparalleled. There was Gronk for a long time in this league that I think felt like that. But I would say the torch has been passed to George. Like, he loves throwing a great block. And sometimes if he can get two, like a good Macy's Day sale, he can get two for one, he'll celebrate those just as much.
Halfway through the year, how are you assessing Kyle Shanahan and his coaching job this year? On him as the head guy, him as the play caller, hiring defensive coordinators, all that stuff. Like, what would your assessment be of the first half?
Well, I mean, I think it's been a stressful year, Joe. I mean, you come off a disappointing playoff loss. You have a number of holdouts. And then worse than, you know, Ayuk and Trent being out all offseason and really unknowing and knowing that there's real legit trade talk for Ayuk. You're going to lose your best receiver. And then this injury to McCaffrey where he's not available. I just think it's been really tough on him. You make the change at defense coordinator, but the defense line isn't what it once was as far as his talent. And now you want this defense coordinator just to fix things, and you're playing all these rookies in the secondary right now. I think it's been a tough year on him. And so what you have to do is, you know, when they came off the bye week last year, they weren't playing good football. They'd lost three in a row, and then they came back from the bye, and they hit their stride. They won six in a row, whatever it was. But you know, that's what I'm looking for right now. I think they're in a position right here. The schedule is going to remain tough. Obviously, the division is only going to get tougher the way Arizona's playing and the way the Rams are playing right now. So you're going to have a lot of tough division games. But I just think it's been stressful for Kyle. I mean, we've seen a lot of teams just go in the tank and just basically fall apart after Super Bowl losses. They're still right in the middle of it. Probably not with the record that you expect the 49ers to have, but considering all the stuff that has happened, the fact that they're still relevant, big game this weekend on the road, you got a lot of work yet to do, I'd say that.
Couple more minutes with Brian Baldinger, the smartest man in football, in my opinion, in modern day, or poor man's John Madden, we could say here, John Madden 2.0, whatever it is. But Baldy, the deadline today is 1 p.m., the trade deadline. And we see the Lions as Zadarius Smith. I want to get your thoughts on that in just a second. But do the Niners need to make a deal today? And if they do, what position should they trade for? Any names we should keep an eye out on?
Well, it's the arms race. You know, Baltimore went and got a receiver. Detroit's getting a defensive end. It's Zadarius, who's a good player and a great teammate. We're seeing moves made. Like, honestly, if I was John Lynch, I would pick up the phone and call Dan Morgan in Carolina and just see what it would take to get Jadeveon Clowney.
Mm.
Like, Jadeveon Clowney's better than Chase Young. He plays the game harder. He is an elite athlete. He just brings juice to your team. He's not a great pass rusher. Chase wasn't either. But he brings a ton of energy. He has incredible length. He's excellent against the run. And when you get into space and you need athletes to close space up, to chase people down, like, he can still run and chase with the best of them. He's sitting there in Carolina. He just had a great game last week. But I feel like Jadeveon is a guy that I would want on my team. He was part of Baltimore's defense last year. He had 9.5 sacks. They were the number one defense in football. They led the league in takeaways. They gave up the fewest points, and he was a big part of that. I just think he's the right attitude, experience. I think Nick would love to have him in the room. I feel like that's the guy that if I was John Lynch, I would try to get.
Baldy, who are we not talking about on the 49ers, just as a fan base? Like, I know Purdy's the easy one, and maybe it is someone who's as obvious as Purdy, but who's the guy that's just... He's got to just play better football for them in November and December for them to be considered a threat to a team like Detroit, who clearly feels like the juggernaut of the NFC.
Well, I feel like almost the most important position in football right now is your nickel corner. Like, I remember when Charles Woodson, left the Raiders and went to the Packers. He was the nickel corner. He played safety, but he was the most dominant nickel corner of all time. He led a team in tackles from that position. And, you know, all the things that he did to take the ball away. He loved playing in that spot because he was a big factor in the run game, and he was a great tackler. Like, I think Diamador Lenore is a guy nationally we don't talk about enough. I think he has a chance to be a great nickel because of his willingness to stick his nose in there and be a factor in the run game. If you look at the best teams in football right now, if you're looking at the Eagles, you're looking at the Ravens, you're looking at the Lions, you're looking at the Chiefs. All these teams are running the ball more than they're throwing it. Buffalo.
Yep.
They're all running it more than they're throwing it. Like, you're going to have to stop good running teams if you get to the playoffs. If you play the Rams, you got to stop Kyren Williams. If you play the Cardinals, you got to stop Connor. So, and that's a big part of that position. I feel like that's a guy that is only, because he's kind of new to it, I feel like he's got a chance to be really good at that position.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Baldy. You bring up all these teams, Arizona 5-4. They're cooking something up in the desert. They're playing hard. What a dominant victory over the Chicago Bears. I wasn't surprised that they won, but not that dominant against the Bears team that was rolling. The Lions, you bring up their running game with Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, and they look like world beaters out there. Saquon Barkley is having a resurgence. We know the Lions right now are the cream of the crop in the NFC. It feels like the NFC is going to have to run through them. But what is the team in the NFC that we're not talking about? Is it the Rams? Is it the Eagles? Is it the Packers? Who are we not talking about in the NFC that will have something to say when it's all said and done?
Well, I think you have to talk about Washington, because of the way that they're so efficient on offense. You can't get the quarterback to make a mistake. You know, like, honestly, he doesn't turn the ball over. I think he still has 2 interceptions on the season right now. And then his decision-making is elite. And they're very good on third down. They're a very good running football team. Defensively, they're not great. But if they're playing with the lead and you let Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr., the defense coordinator, dial up some of the blitzes that they have, they can affect the quarterback. So I think Minnesota and Washington are 2 teams that people probably aren't talking enough about right now.
This NFC is shaping up to be a dandy here. Detroit, the Packers, the Vikings you just mentioned, the Commanders. Chask and I were arguing about the Commanders yesterday, and I do think they're real. I can't wait to see them in Philly or play Philadelphia in a couple weeks here. But the NFC is shaking out to be a juggernaut here. We see that the Niners can roll. Baldy, though, does it mean something? Before we let you go, The last 2 years, the Niners are 14-1 in the months of November and December. They're 16-2 after their bye week. Can they take that saying, hey, look, we've been really good in these last 2 months here. What does it take to be really good in November and December?
Well, I mean, the last 2 years they had McCaffrey in the lineup. So, you know, that's, you know, we had put him in the lineup at full speed. It does change things. It changes play calling and matchups. And, you know, when you got to make plays, you got a guy right now that you can absolutely depend on. So maybe if he becomes a part of this thing, they can continue that stretch. But if not, I mean, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Everybody wants to see the 49ers fall off a cliff. People want to see Kyle Shanahan fail. That's just the world we live in. So it's, you know, it's the 53 guys in that room right now. But I still believe that they can come out of this thing and still win this division. They're going to get a real strong test. Even Arizona already made a move. They never make moves. But that move that they just made yesterday to get a pass rusher out of Denver, it tells everybody in that locker room in Arizona, we're not just the same old Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
We're here to upgrade our roster. We need a pass rusher. We got one right now. Now let's go continue the way we're playing. You know, and then, look, the Rams were a great second-half team last year. They're very well coached. They got a rookie center, rookie left guard. It doesn't matter to them. They lose Puka. They lose Cooper. It doesn't matter. Like, but they're coming back to full strength, and they're just so well coached. And those four young defense linemen they've drafted the last 2 years are getting really good.
Oh, Fisk and Verse out of Florida. Oh, my gosh, yeah. I'm getting nightmares about the Rams and the Cardinals here. No doubt the NFC West could come down to the last week of the season. Baldy, always good to talk to you, man. The Niners are back on the field, and this thing is ramping up, baby. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. See you, Joe. See you, Abonte.
See you, buddy.
All right, Baldy. Take care, brother. Take care. Brian Baldinger, man, this NFC is stacking up. Are you surprised he said the Commanders? The one team we're not talking about?
No, he went to the game, and he was impressed with them.
Yeah, Jalen Daniels. Jalen Daniels is playing well, man.
I also don't think it's an absurd, you know, position to hold to say, hey, look, they've never played this roster and this team and this player. They haven't played a December game that's mattered in ever, you know, for a lot of these guys. So, you know, let's just wait and see where they're at. I there's no doubt they've been impressive. I mean, look at what they've done.
No doubt.
You know, but a rookie quarterback, first go around, you know, I just want to see it.
He was sitting courtside yesterday at the Capital One Arena.
Is that where he was?
Yeah, he was at the Warriors game.
Oh.
Him and Steph exchanged jerseys. He's sitting there courtside.
I missed that.
Yeah, they showed up a few times.
I missed that.
Yeah, Jay Daniels. I think you can see him right there. He's got the red jacket. There he is. You see him sitting up there by the Toyota side? Right score bug. Boom. There he is, sitting up.
Huh.
Jay Daniels. Jay Daniels.
Oh, I thought you meant Baldy.
Oh, I was Daniels. Like, oh. Like,
I don't know why I thought you were talking about Baldy. I was like, Baldy was there?
My guy's ears.
Saw Jaden Daniels.
My guy's ears are injured, man.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurt.
Are you serious?
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, the window is open for Christian McCaffrey, but I have no idea how I should feel about it. I don't know whether to be excited, worried, skeptical. I have no idea what to expect from Christian McCaffrey once he hits the field again, but he's been on IR since week two with bilateral Achilles tendonitis. With the window now open, the Niners have a 21-day practice window to activate him, though he is expected to be activated this Saturday before the Niners take on the Bucks. We'll talk to Cam Emmett at 8:30. We'll take your phone calls up until then, 888-957-9570. What is the realistic expectation for Christian McCaffrey moving forward? Do you have any expectations, Niner fans? 888-957-9570 is the number. That is the injury report brought to you by our great friends at Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up on the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Expectations for McCaffrey. Plus, we'll give out some grades here before we get to Cam Emmett at 8:30. The number is 888-957-9570. We're reading your text on the Comcast Business text line, and we'll take your calls on the other side. I see you waiting there, BPA. We'll get him in, see how he's feeling about the 49ers. I'm sure he's very optimistic.
I'm optimistic, Bonte.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help.
With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.